Hey, this is Craig Dillstrom Media.
This is DJ Kaya.
This is Elliot D'Souza.
Hey, this is Jason D'Souza from Aldona.
Hey, this is Nash Lobo from Aldona.
This is Pascal D'Souza from Kelly.
Hey, this is Rohit D. Almeida.
Hey, this is Roland Mascarenhas.
Hey, guys, this is Ron Montero from Localin.
Hi, this is Roy Fernandez from Donna Paula.
This is Ryan D'Souza from Cola.
Hey, this is Steffi DeCruz.
Hey, this is Tony Nazareth, and you are listening to...
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
And you're listening to the GSL Podcast.
Welcome back to the GSL Podcast. This is season four after a five-year hiatus. I never thought we'd be back doing this. The podcast started in 2016. It ran for three seasons. It ended in 2018. And there's been a lot of hype around the league. The league's been back now. A lot of people clamoring, saying, "What, the league came back? Why isn't the podcast back?" But the real reason that the podcast is back is pretty much due to the constant harassment from my two guests today. And I couldn't do, you know, this special episode of the season by myself, so I decided to bring in some help. So let's welcome our first guest in, and we have Roland Mascarenhas, my brother, hailing from India. Roland, how's it going?
It's good. This is the earliest time I've woken up ever. I generally wake up for work at 9 a.m., and it's now, I woke up 6:15 a.m. for this podcast, so you know what it means for me.
That's true. You have been desperate to have an episode of the podcast, and for the right reasons, but we couldn't do it alone. You know, you and I, we've played together for almost two decades now, similar teams. We have different perspectives to bring, which is good, but at the same time, we don't want to be, you know, tunnel vision and always have the same teams coming up or the same perspective. So we thought, who could add value? Who could bring a different perspective? Who would be another valuable member to this podcast? And unfortunately, the 10 people we asked were unavailable. So we ended up just reaching out to someone else that we thought maybe would be desperate enough to join. So without further ado, let me welcome our second guest. DJ Kaya. DJ, how's it going?
What's going on, boys? Wendell, rolling.
So ironically,
how's everyone doing?
When we started trying to get this ready, we have, you know, myself in Toronto, Kaya, Mississauga, Roland in India. And who would have thought Kaya would be the one with internet issues and internet problems? Even Roland in a third world country has a better internet connection. Kaya, can you address that right off the bat? What's going on?
You don't get home internet with Freedom Mobile. Oh!
That's awesome. So Kaya, we're really, really happy you took the time to join us. We know you're busy, and we're excited because we have a lot of stuff to talk about today. You know, this episode is called Past, Present, Future, and it's because we do want to look at the past, you know, when the podcast ended, what's happened since. We do want to look at the present, what went on this season, and then we want to talk about the future of the league. And you're someone that's a diehard fan of the league. You come to pretty much every game, even if Margot's not playing. And, you know, you're a diehard fan of the Simba, spoiler alert, you know, current champions, Margot Simba, but we'll get to that later. So let's start out with part one. This is the GSL Podcast, season four, episode one, Past. Thanks for joining us. So let's start off with a quick recap of what we missed, because I do feel bad. You know, the podcast used to give like a week by week summary. We'd give shout outs to people for winning awards and winning championships. But in 2018, the podcast came to an end. So since then, we had the 2019 season. Basically, this culminated in Lotulam winning in the finals 2-0 with second half goals by Craig Raj and Aaron Atwal. And Kaya, were you at this game? Did you attend this finals to see, unfortunately, your Simba?
I was not at this game.
Oh, so you missed this game. So you missed this game, which is rare for you because usually you always are at the Margaret games, let alone the finals.
Usually, I know this one, unfortunately, I missed it. I think I had a win that day, but yeah.
Fair enough. You know, tough to figure out, you know, who won the MVP that year for the regular season. We believe it was Dwayne from Margot. Is that what you've heard, Kaya?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Dwayne. I don't think it was anyone else on that year. I'm almost positive it was Dwayne.
I reached out to Ron to ask him because obviously he played and won that finals, and he said he couldn't remember for sure, but he does know it was a Margot player. And I do remember before thinking, wow, like a Margot player finally won the MVP because they hadn't won in a long time. And, you know, there were there were rumors about, you know, are they being blackballed? Are they being, you know, discriminated against? And I remember thinking, oh, wow, they actually gave it to a Margot guy for once. So, I mean, we're going to go with Dwayne. He may or may not have won the award. Who knows? But that's what we're going with for now.
You are correct, Wendell, because I reached out to Sippy and Sippy told me, please talk to Everett. So it seems like
Everett said, and he didn't get back to me.
Yeah, I also reached out to the executive. I reached out to the executive as well, trying to figure this out. No one got back to me. And, you know, they used to have this thing where they would summarize every season and all the awards. And for some reason, they don't have 2019. Like, you can go back to any year. So, for example, if I just pick a year randomly, 2009, I look at MVP, I scroll down on the chart, I see, Wendell Mascarenhas. So, you know, you can go to any year. That was just, you know, pure chance. That wasn't intentional, of course. Right, Kaya? So now, basically, unfortunately, after 2019, we had COVID that hit. So unfortunately, the 2020 and 2021 seasons were canceled. This was a sad time. You know, people were missing the league, but obviously we had bigger things going on. But then luckily we got the news that in 2022, the GSL was returning. Now, although we were extremely happy with this at first, one of the major issues we had is in that interim time, a lot of teams disappeared. So we had Bugmalo, they come back, they're gone. We have Mopsa, they were kind of like Margao's B team, and all of a sudden they're gone. We had Aldana, pillar of the league. Roel and I played for them for, you know, over a decade, and they're gone. You know, when it comes to Aldana, I know it pretty much came down to a lack of organization and leadership to continue the team and commitment. And it was just really sad. You know, I was away, Roland's in India, I'm in Montreal at that time, and we can't lead the team. We can't organize the team. And unfortunately the team folds. Bugmalo, I know it was a lack of players. Kaya, can you comment on Mopsa and why Margao's B team folded?
To Don Apollo, right? And then again, no longer able to like organize it and stuff. And then eventually they just folded. And plus, remember, Margot and Worrell were lacking players, right? So they grabbed the Mopsa players, and then the remaining Mopsa players joined Don Apollo.
Yeah.
So that's what happened with Mopsa, and then, yeah.
Fair enough. So I think it was a combination, as you said, you know, some people leaving for Don Apollo, and then Margot, as soon as Margot loses a player, well, they take one from their feeder teams. I guess they hit that critical mass where there was no more Mopsa, which is really sad. It was nice to have another team in the league, and also, I remember they had like a lot of players. It was like the youth kind of coming up. So I really enjoyed having another team there. So now we're down to five teams. And honestly, when it comes to a league, like, can you really have five teams? Is that a real league? Like, Roland, what are your thoughts? I mean, we're down to five teams. This is last year still. And you're thinking, is that a real season? Is that enough teams? Like, how can we encourage people? Or what do you think of this situation with five teams at that point? Because you were on the executive committee at that time. So what were you thinking?
Yeah, there was definitely a bit of panic because at one point we weren't even sure if Margot was going to make it. There were questions or they didn't attend the meeting. We weren't sure whether they were going to join the Super League. So that's the reason why it was potentially going down to four teams. But on the positive side, there was a higher density of, you could say, overall talent. We know those five teams is going to be competitive. And that's what it's shown over the next two seasons. There was one consideration for one team called Saligao Dads, called Saligao, but because they had a higher density of non-Goans than Goans, they eventually opted out, which is in hindsight very disappointing because a lot of those players would have been eligible to play in the league. And on top of that, I actually scheduled an exhibition game with them, and they're definitely a competitive team. I think they would definitely do fairly well. They would increase the level of competition in the league, so there's something that we're looking forward to in the future.
Yeah, definitely. We definitely need to try and reach out to more teams and try and bring them back because, of course, but this year we remained at five teams. We weren't able to add anyone else. And I think it's to the detriment of the league and to the viability of the league, which a lot of people are worried about. So the season progresses. We have five teams. You know, you have Kolva, Margao, Aguada, Lotlem, and Dona Paula. So with five teams, only the top four will make the playoffs. So it comes down to just, you know, who's going to be eliminated. So Dona Paula, unfortunately, does not make the playoffs. And we end up with a one seed versus four seed game, which is Lotlem at the one seed, Aguada and the four seed. And for Roland and I returning back to the league after some time, you know, with Alden folded, we were actually free agents for the first time, which was kind of nice. You know, we haven't been free agents in a long time. Obviously, if there's an Alden team, we're obviously going to play with them. And we had spoken with Croydon from Aguada, who was looking for players. You know, Aguada is always kind of in flux. Will they have enough players? Will they not? And Croydon does a great job organizing there. So he reached out saying, listen, we could use you two guys. We'll get good playing time. And we definitely need more players so that we can kind of put a team together. So it was strange for me. You know, I played in the league at that point this was my 17th year. And the previous 16 years were always with the same team. Roland, for you, was the same. You played a similar amount of years and always with the same team. So I enjoyed meeting new people and playing with a new team and seeing how a different team functions. But I did find it a bit strange joining a new team for the first time. Roland, how did you find it?
Yeah, it was the same thing, exactly thing. And as you know, Wendell, traditionally, Aldana and Aguada have had this back and forth of this competition because a lot of the friends group has overlaps quite a bit. When I say friends group, it's mostly the guys that hit the club together. We've seen them from the Facebook and Instagram pictures, so it tends to be the same group. So I wasn't sure, but Croydon was very gracious and we reached out. And the two, three things that we noticed, I think, early on is that Croydon has a hilarious sense of humor. He always lightens the mood no matter what happens. He really could have had a great career as a stand-up comedian. There's something amazing about his timing. And the second is Aguada is perennially in chaos. Right, you never know who's going to show up, when they're going to show up, what state they're going to show up, if they're coming from downtown Toronto, mm-hmm. Niagara Falls, or Mississauga. So those are the two things that we noticed quite quickly.
Yeah, I completely agree with all of that. It's funny because, you know, you mentioned how Aldana and Aguada used to be rivals. And we were for a long time. As I said, we kind of grew up with Croydon, Clayton, Crife, Jordash. Like, these are the people we grew up with. And it was always the race. Who's going to win first, Alden or Aguada? And it was embarrassing to the point where Aguada had, you know, been to the finals now six or seven times, maybe. They'd won three times, for example. And we had only been to the finals once in 2007. This once great rivalry of fantastic games, fantastic playoff games, became so one-sided. They were dominating us. It wasn't even a competition anymore. And all the while, you'd have Lotlin winning championships, Margao winning championships. So we really kind of got left behind at that point. And then to join them and you realize the absolute chaos that's going on with this team, I think 90% of the games we played either shorthanded or with no subs, three or four people would get injured every single game. You didn't know who was going to show up and what state they were going to show up. We had people showing up at halftime because they were, cleaning up an Airbnb in Niagara Falls. They could not make it on time. We had people showing up late because they left a club in Toronto at 4 a.m. I'm purposely not mentioning names, but those listening are going to know exactly who we're talking about right away. And these are great guys. They were super fun to play with, super fun to hang out with. But you're thinking, how is this team ever going to get it together? And did we really leave Aldana, which was perennial underperformers, but overall, like, took the sport seriously for this new team that you don't know who's going to show up, what's going on? And the crazy part of it is we're playing with the team, you look around, and there's talent there. Everyone's good. Everyone understands the game. We're having fun. Really positive attitude. No one's yelling at each other. No one's down on each other. Like, a really, really pleasant team to be on. So that was really good. So we get to this one versus four seed. And obviously, Lotlem's a powerhouse. And our game plan going in was literally just play for penalties. We can't beat this team over a regular game. Have to play to our strengths, just play for penalties. It's 0-0. We're in extra time now, and extra time's 30 minutes. We're thinking, how are we going to last here? We're blasting the ball out. We're trying to, you know, time delay. Like, Lotlem's getting frustrated because they know we're playing for penalties. We don't care. We're going to do whatever it takes. And we get to penalties. And I can't explain to people that are listening, but as I mentioned, 17 years in the league, and I've never beaten Lotlem in the playoffs. right? They beat us anytime we've ever faced them. Even regular season, it's rare to find a win. We have some ties, a lot of losses. But luckily, in penalties, we beat them, and this was an upset. I mean, this was a shocker. We're the fourth seed. We beat Lawton. We knocked them out. And we're going to the finals. For Roland and I, it was the first time heading to the finals in 15 years because the last time we'd made it was 2007. So we couldn't believe it. We were going nuts. My dad was there. We were going nuts. Even for us, just making it to the finals was such a big deal. So that's what happens in the first semifinal game with the Guada taking out Lotulam. The second semifinal is Colva versus Margaux. So this is the two-seed Colva versus the three-seed Margaux. A lot of people thought Colva actually, you know, might have been the most talented, best team in the league at this point. They have the Golden Boot winner, Tristan Van Drien, who we'll get into later on. They have a lot of young players. They've taken a lot of the Aldana players from before. And they're going against this Margaux team as the heavy favorites. And this was an absolute insane semifinal. Kaya, were you at the semifinal?
Yes, I was. That's the one where I think Colva got a red card. And I think they played most of the game with Van Down, right?
This was a back and forth game. Colva gets a red card. At that point, I believe it was either 2-1 or 2-2, with Richard Fernandez seeing red.
Fight, 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 fight.
And then luckily, Colva still manages to score and win the game 3-2, a huge win for them to bring them to the finals. And what's crazy is at this point, you have to realize Colva's never won the championship either. I'm not even sure if they'd ever even been to the finals at this point. Or at least not for a long
time. This was their first time.
I think it was their first.
This was their first final.
I think it was their first.
Definitely their first final.
Their first final. So they were emotional. They were going crazy. And Colva was very similar to Aldana in the sense that you have these people that have been playing on the team for decades, like, you know, Oscar, Ryan Santiago, Ryan, the goalie. Denzel. There's a lot of players on Colva that have been there for so long. And they finally made it to their final. So they're feeling the same feeling that we had, Roland, in 2007, where we finally made our first final and we lost in a heartbreaker in the last minute on a penalty to Parra, 2-1. So Colva's going to their first final. Guada has somehow stumbled into the finals. And most of the players have been in the finals before. Obviously, for us, it's new. 15 years, we haven't been there. So what were your expectations going to this final, Roland? Because, you know, you were in India, then you're moving here, then we're on a new team, and we're going against an insanely talented Colva team in the finals. So what was your mindset going into the finals?
Yeah, I think it's two things you alluded to. The first thing is, with a Guada, there's something where they're able to live in this ambiguity constantly year after year. And this is fully credit to Croydon, who has been able to manage to keep things together all through a lighthearted approach. But when you look at this Guada team, you could make an argument that this is one of, if not the greatest defense of all time. You have Cripe and Anush in center, certainly the tallest at over 6'1". Anushka has also previously played for the Western varsity team, I believe, 1 year. You have Austin, who was converted from like a forward to a very, very rock, stable defender at right back. And you have Duran, who's a very, very quick, athletic left back who's been with the team for many years. So that's a very, very strong defensive lineup. And we just basically congested. So you don't know what you're going to get, especially against like an attacking all-out team like Colva. And certainly that's what Colva brought. But what we quickly noticed is I'm sure we'll talk about this in this upcoming season. Colva's strategy is basically give the ball to Johnny and let him make things happen, whether it's through Tristan, through Noah, or somehow. And I don't really know if that was the most effective strategy going into that. So I was quite excited, quite eager, especially as a defensive midfielder player. But I certainly thought we would have the better edge from a defensive positioning because we have those four very, very strong defenders. It's only if we make mistakes at the back that they're more likely to be kept in the game.
That's good. Some good points you make. The difficulty of playing Colva is they have so much talent offensively. You do look at them and think they're not as strong defensively. Similar to, you know, when you're playing Lotlum, you always worry about their offense, not so much about their defense. But because they have so many threats on offense, you always kind of need to keep your eyes in the back of your head because people like Tristan, Johnny, man, they have such good off-the-ball movement that they just they just drift and fade away, and before you know it, they're in on goal. You know, this was and we're biased here, obviously, but this was one of the best finals of all time. Like, we were in the Brampton Stadium, it was packed, people were watching, and it just had a great finals atmosphere, and you could tell Colva brought a huge support because it was their first time in the finals. This game had everything. I mean, it was 0-0 at half. In the second half, you know, our players are dropping like flies. We don't have a goalie, so Croydon had to go in net. We don't have maybe five or six of our top starters. Three more people get injured in the first half. We're playing down a man at one point. Then we have one or two subs. It was an extremely, extremely difficult game to even field a team at this point for this finals. Fortunately, you know, cometh the hour, cometh the man. The second half, I get the ball. And I remember because Johnny Van Dreen actually tackled me. He's a shorter guy, but he's a pretty strong on the ball, muscular type guy. And he tried to body the ball off me. But luckily, you know, me being 6 feet, it was actually quite easy to just shrug him off. And then I noticed Ryan was off his line. So even though I was around the halfway mark, I just shot the ball, chipped the keeper. And it went in, and I was going absolute nuts. Kaya, were you at this finals?
Yeah, I remember your goal. You just looked up and you took a shot. I don't even know if that was even a shot, but yeah, it was a really good goal.
Well, Kaya, there was no other Aguada players within a mile. What else? What was it? Your crossbar child?
No, I don't watch the game. I literally watched the game, and remember because I was up in the press box, right? So I can get the whole view of the field. And you guys just set back, and the pressure was on. And I really thought, oh, man, these guys are going to get beaten today. I had no hope.
Yeah.
Definitely getting their first championship here. And, yeah, you guys played well.
Yeah, so fortunately, managed to score a goal. I'm going nuts. The team's going nuts. We're all hugging. But as you said, there's a lot of game left, and you know, we're soaking up the pressure, and you know, about I'd say 10 or 15 minutes left in the game, a penalty shot is awarded when Tristan is fouled in the box. I didn't see this personally, but people on my team said this was a slam dunk penalty. It was a good call by the referee. He was fouled. He was taken down. You know, he's so quick on his feet. I believe he was tackled at the ankles and brought down. So penalty shot. You know, it's in the finals, pressure moment. Who's going to take it? And Tristan steps up, buries the penalty. Just past Corin, who does almost get a hand to it. So he was beating himself up that he didn't save it. But he scores the goal, so now it's 1-1. So we go to extra time, and credit to Jason Diaz, who, long-term listener, long-term fan of the podcast, you know, he kind of single-handedly carried season one with all of his fan mail and his jokes and his trash talk. So credit to him. Great shot. I think Tristan, it was, went on the left side, shot against Corin, who makes the save. And it bounces kind of away from the goalie to try and clear it away from the box. But it goes to Jason, who's running down the right wing. And it's one of those ones where you have to one time it, not in a half volley, but kind of keep it controlled. I'd say 9 times out of 10, people are going to, you know, misconnect the ball or lean back, and the ball just going to go flying. Great connection by him. Goes like kind of like a bullet flying just above the turf into the bottom of the corner. Great goal. He's going wild. Colva's going wild. It's 2-1. And this is when the game descends into absolute chaos. Because you think 2-1 in extra time and it's over. Or you know it, boom, 2-2 Aguada. 3-2 Aguada. And now there's literally 10 seconds left in the game. And I remember we're all just like trying to blast the ball as fast as we can. And wouldn't you know it, deflection, it lands at the feet of Tristan. And credit to him, you know, another pressure moment. And he buries the goal, makes it look easy. 3-3, we're going to penalty shot. So at this point, we could not believe it. We're thinking we were up 1-0. We were up 3-2. Now, granted, it was 2-1 at one point in extra time, so at least we felt good that we came back from that. And shout out to Austin, who was a former Colva player, then moved to Margao and then to Aguada. And he was instrumental in setting up the second goal to tie it up 2-2. And you could tell it meant a lot to him because he was kind of yelling during the game, saying they didn't want me, you know, Colva, you know, cut me or traded me, or I don't know what happened there. But he was pretty emotional about that. In order to really figure out what happened to Austin, because, you know, he was Colva, then Margo, now he's with Aguada, we have to go to his agent. Do we have him on the line? DJ Kaya, you're the official agent of Austin. This is something that we talked about in season 2. we never really got a confirmation if there was a signing bonus, if you were his agent.
I had to learn for it, yeah.
Did are you still his agent, or what happened?
Sorry. No. I had to let him go. You know, I'll be just an agent and have to let you go. I can't really keep these guys. And I actually got a good contract in like a Saudi league or something. So.
So just to set the record straight, when Austin hit a critical age, you decided to let him go because you prefer him up as the younger players?
Yeah, definitely. You know, talented skill players. And he got a good contract with some Saudi league. I need to give him some shawarma or something.
and then from an agent perspective, Kai, do you have any current people on your roster, anyone you're proud of, or anyone that you're happy to announce that you're representing now?
No, I haven't seen anyone yet. Actually, no, I'm no longer along an agent. I've now joined the executive committee of the Golden Soccer League.
Oh, wow. So you've moved on. You've leveraged your agent position into becoming the executive committee.
I'm into it now.
Okay. Fair enough. So we go to penalties. Penalties is anyone's game. You know, we're going on a huge down because they've tied it up with 10 seconds to go. We were so close to our first championship. And we get to the penalty shots. And, you know, I go up first. Ryan's in that. He's doing that thing where he tries to psych you out. And credit to him. I mean, normally I would say my track record with penalties is pretty good. I try to not let the moment get to me. But he kind of threw me off. And I end up missing my penalty. So at that point, we're thinking, wow, like, we've come all this way. Missed the penalty. Like, are we going to lose? It's like, this is going to be the worst feeling ever. What's going to happen? Fortunately, Tristan, who goes up after me, who has already scored in regular time, Croydon told us he kind of learned from his first penalty that he kind of read him right and he went the right way, but he just wasn't able to save it and he was beating himself up. So when he goes up for this penalty, Croydon actually does dive the correct way again and manages to save it. So right away, it's back to 0-0. My miss is negated. We're good to go. Now it's like anyone's game. And credit to our players. One after another, they're putting the ball in the back of the net. Everyone's scoring. And when it comes to Kolba, we have the captain, Ryan Santiago, who hits the crossbar. So that counts as a miss for them. And then unfortunately, Jason Diaz, who was the hero of extra time, unfortunately then misses his penalty. It's saved by Croydon. Game is over. Guada wins the championship. Obviously, you know, we're celebrating, we're on the field, Roland, you and I, we're celebrating. We've never won the championship before. This is the first time. And I have to say, from a personal point of view, I mean, people will pretend, oh, it's just a soccer league. Oh, it's just a men's league. Like, what's the big deal? But when you've played in the same league for 17 years, when you've grown up with these people, when these people are your friends, you know, it just means so much. For me, it was just like an emotional moment, trying for so long and finally getting that championship. I felt like I was going to go my whole life without winning. And I also felt that, you know, if I didn't score or contribute to the finals in some way, it wouldn't mean as much. So scoring a goal in the finals, which is what I did in 2007, it really meant a lot to me, and I couldn't believe we won. What did you think, Roland, when you finally won that first championship after trying for so long?
Yeah, I think a few things I noticed. The first thing is, has there been any time in history when there's been two consecutive semifinals and finals where a team has come through, where we won in the semis against local and penalties, we also won in the finals penalties. Mm-hmm. The second thing I noticed is that, you know, we've always observed this, but, you know, as outsiders, but going a little bit different, being on Aguada, the moment Aguada's on the field, things become settled. They don't get rattled by these outside noise. And this is the history of Aguada. We've always seen them in different jerseys than those god-awful Honduras jerseys or whatever they were. And the light blue Barcelona jersey, whatever it may be, they always are rushed at the bidding stress, but they always find a way in and enter this direct route. So I think it was an incredible feeling. You have to feel for Kolba. It is remarkable because Kolba historically has amongst the best reputations in the league. They've always been known as kind of the barbecue team with Oscar and Ryan, always chilling and relaxing on the sidelines. And gradually, they've been more and more a competitive team, largely led by the Vanderines and this younger cohort. So it definitely was a great feeling. And I think you have to also feel for Richard Fernandez, who got a red card in the semis through fault of his own, actually. I clearly saw that he was mugging half the team over there. And then he did get a red card. And the best part was I was an Ontario Soccer League coach. And that same week, Richard Fernandez clearly did not learn his lesson because he also got a red card in the OSL game. So I have no idea.
Maybe he just wanted a couple of weeks off. Maybe he wanted to go on vacation or something. Didn't want anyone to harass him.
I don't know. Maybe his boss or girlfriend said something to him and just rattled him off for a week or something. But to miss a few games is unfortunate. But it was definitely a good experience. I think that Brampton, he was really, really hot in the middle of the afternoon. So that was also a different feeling for us. So, but it was large. It was kind of like a boxing match when you look at the finals, back and forth trading punches at each other. Mm-hmm. And the fact that you really can't give up till the final whistle.
Definitely. So huge congrats to the Guada team getting the championship. We did have the awards. We had Tristan winning the Golden Boot. We mentioned him. We'll mention him later on. And he also wins the MVP. And this is in his debut season. So to win the Golden Boot and MVP, huge, huge entrance into the league. And he lived up to the hype and he won both awards. That's very, very impressive. And he almost won a championship too, all in his debut year. That would have been probably the best year of any player's career. Now that concludes, you know, the past. We've looked at what's happened since, you know, what did the GSL podcast miss? What happened in those seasons? So that's going to be the end of part one. This is episode one, but don't worry, we'll be back next week with a brand new episode.